I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
God, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have given to us, of your love, of your grace, of your courage and perseverance. And we thank you for those gifts in our lives, but ask now that all of these things, these gifts today in our lives, will be then used for your glory and your praise. We pray all this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So today's scripture is going to be taken from Acts chapter 12, starting with verse 12, and give you a little head or background to this. But also, what I want to introduce is that I'm going to be doing probably a 5-week series on probably the most unusual sermon series I've ever done. And I was kind of looking around on the internet, and I found out that there's like these 5 funny stories in the Bible. And so those are stories that I'm familiar with and stories that I always thought, yeah, these are funny stories. I always thought these were hilarious stories in a sense. So we're going to go look at these 5 funny stories in the next few weeks and see what God is speaking to us and spoke to the church at those times in these unusual activities or unusual events. The first one begins with chapter 12 of Acts, and this was the beginning of the persecution of the early church in Jerusalem. And it was a good thing because it moved the church out of Jerusalem into the rest of the world, but also was a hard thing. And we'll talk a lot more about it in the sermon, but basically, Peter is in prison. He escapes from prison by an angel, and he goes to the church house, which is Mary, which is the mother of John Mark. And they're there praying for him to be free and to get out. So he goes to Mary's house, and we pick it up on verse 12. Aware of his situation, Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked on the outside door. A servant named Rhonda came and answered it. She recognized Peter's voice and was so happy that she ran back without opening the door and announced that Peter was standing outside. "You're crazy," they told her, but she insisted, "That is true." And they answered, "It's his angel." Meanwhile, Peter kept on knocking. At last, they opened the door, and when they saw him, they were amazed. He motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and he explained to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell this to James and the rest of the believers," he said, and then he left and went somewhere else. Amen. Back when I was in college, a friend of mine lived in Pittsburgh. He was going to college in Pittsburgh, so I went to visit him, and we ran around Pittsburgh and did the Pittsburgh things, and then we went to an apartment of a friend of his and hung out there for the evening. And as we were talking and enjoying each other, playing a game or something like that, there was a knock on her apartment door. And this was, you know, for me, this huge apartment of like 27 floors and all that kind of stuff. And so she asked me, she said, "Go ahead and answer the door." She said, "But make sure you look through the security window to see who it is." I'm like, "Well, that's not going to be helpful because I don't know anybody you know." But anyway, so I went to the door, looked through the window, and I'm like, "Oh!" I turned around, went back to the group and said, "It's Mel Blunt." Mel Blunt. All right. Steelers. Cornerback. Hall of Famer. From the 70s, people. Come on. I was like, but it was Mel Blunt, this football player who was still playing at the time, and he had a football that he wanted this woman who was an artist to paint because it was one of his, you know, big reception, award-winning interceptions. But just like Rhonda in our story, I went to the door, saw Mel Blunt, was so excited, left him out there in the hallway. So I came back, opened it up, and the biggest thing I remember about him was he shook my hand, and his hand was the biggest hand I have ever seen on a human in my life. No wonder he could make interceptions like he did. But the story about Rhonda in our scriptures is, I think, a powerful story as well as a funny story. And I can imagine that this was a story that the church over the years remembered. because it was so funny, and they probably started about it. Hey, how about that story when Peter got out of jail and Rhonda left him outside knocking on the door? Yeah, I remember that. It's kind of those old family stories you tell at Thanksgiving and repeat over and over again. And this story was probably one of those because of the kind of the slapstickness of that it was happening. But there was a serious side to this. And oftentimes, those funny stories have a very serious and ominous side to them as well. This was the beginning of this big persecution of the early church in Jerusalem. James, there was two Jameses in this story, but the one James was beheaded by Herod at the time. And then Peter was arrested. And it was Passover, and that was the only reason why Peter hadn't been beheaded as well. So it was Passover when Peter got arrested. And so Herod put him in jail until after Passover, and then he was going to execute Peter. Now, Peter was in chains, as the scriptures ahead of time tells us, and he was in chains with two other prison guards. So he was basically tied up with these other prison guards, and then there were two layers of guards that he had to get through if he wanted to escape. So it was a pretty serious, strong jail system that he was in. And so he was waiting to be executed. Meanwhile, the church in Jerusalem gathered together at Mary's house, and they began to pray that something would happen. Now, we're not told exactly what they prayed for, but, you know, we can assume that they prayed for Peter's release. Maybe they prayed also that they realized that there was no really hope that Peter would get released. But they prayed then maybe for the dealing with the persecution that was following them, that they were dealing with. The early church, particularly now in the Jerusalem area, were in hiding. They were hiding in Mary's house. They didn't have, you know, big buildings. They didn't have a big sign saying, come to the church of Mary, you know, mother of John Mark, at 8 o'clock for prayer meeting. They met secretly because they were afraid that they would get arrested as well. So our story in the Bible goes on that while Peter was in prison, chained up to these guards, he believed that he had this vision that he and these guards were walking out of prison. His chains fell off of him. He walked past the two sets of guards and found himself outside on the road. And then the Bible tells us he kind of came to himself, looked around, realized it was real. Realized that an angel had taken him out of prison and freed him, and nobody ever stopped him, nobody ever questioned him, nobody ever bothered him. He just walked right out of that prison and was a free man. So he went and knew that he went to Mary's house, and of course our rest of our story there, that he knocks on the door and Rhonda comes, and it's interesting that this Rhonda in the Bible is believed to be a young girl who was a Gentile. And we're not real sure why, you know, this particular person answered the door, except maybe the folks who were praying were, you know, too busy praying, and so they sent the servant girl to answer the door. This gal who had really no, you know, real quote-unquote authority, comes to the door, hears the knocking, hears Peter's voice, and of course is so excited, she leaves Peter outside, runs back to the people and says, "It's Peter!" Now, the first part about this story that I find interesting is, again, remember, Peter just got out of a prison when he was attached to two guards with two chains, went through two series of other guards, and got out of that prison. And now he's stymied by a wooden door and a 12-year-old girl. Sitting out there going, he's stuck. And so they are sitting there waiting. And for me, I think one of the first things that we can see from this, for me, is that sometimes God does and answers our prayers, in ways in which we can't even fathom. Here we are. These people are praying for Peter to be released. He's released. And the news comes from a Gentile little girl. Not somebody that you expect to announce the release of an apostle. A simple girl who comes in and says, Peter is free. And oftentimes when we pray for some big things in our lives, we expect to have some big solutions in our lives. And that's not always the case. The answer sometimes comes in a very small, weak, innocent way that really surprises us. Surprises us so much that we don't believe it, just as these people did. These people, when they were gathering and praying, we believe, for his release, when they heard the news, they just told Rhonda, you're crazy. There's no way he's released. You know, and then here's the thing. We read the scriptures, then they come up with this conclusion. Well, it must be Peter's angels who are coming. Now, what's more amazing? Peter showing up and getting free, or angels, his angels showing up at the door and wanting to come in? Both are pretty amazing. Both, I haven't experienced in my life, so I would be pretty impressed with both of those. But what I find interesting in this, and kind of thinking in the background, is when Rhonda comes up and says, it's Peter at the door, and they, oh, you're crazy. No, it can't be Peter. Maybe it's his angel. No, maybe it's something. They begin to have this debate about who it is or what's going on. You know, for me, I think this is really the first Presbyterian church. Because here they are, they begin to deal with an issue by debating it, and I'm sure they decide, hey, let's write a paper on it, and then we'll publish it, and then we'll send it out to the other churches, see what they think, and then we'll bring it back, and then we'll readjust a couple of revisions, and then we'll have our decision, whether or not it's Peter. I mean, that's what we do. Remember, I was at a presbytery meeting one time, and it was a very important issue, and so where there was a lot of debating and kind of fixing things up and rearranging the wording of this. As a matter of fact, one of the bigger debates was whether or not to change the word and, A-N, to the, T-H-E. You know, and it went on, and I'm like, are we kidding me? And after the debate was over, the chair of that committee got up and says, well, I really believe the Holy Spirit worked here. I'm like, the Holy Spirit left a half hour ago, folks. Because we have this way of when God is trying to do something, even in the early church and today, we want to dissect it. We want to make it make sense to us. And when it doesn't make sense to us, then we try and force and fit it into our mold. And this early church was doing the same thing. You're crazy. It can't be Peter. It's got to be his angel or something else. Or you're just mistaken. You heard the voice wrong. And meanwhile, Peter is still knocking at the door. You know, when we come before God in our prayers, whether they're small prayers or big prayers, God, I believe, has a plan that he's working out. And it may not be the answer that we're necessarily looking for. And it may be an answer that is so amazing that we can't comprehend it and believe that it's really true. The problem is not that God does not answer our prayers. It's that God does something most of the time that we cannot imagine it happening. We pray for healings. We pray for healing in relationships. We pray for our own situations, whether it's careers or jobs. We pray for big world issues, whether it's about refugees or the racial crisis in our country or whatever it might be that you're really praying about. And unfortunately, there's this little thing in the back of your mind, it's like, I'm not sure that's really going to happen. I can't imagine how this is going to fit or this is going to work in the world. I can't see the conclusion, a happy conclusion to this situation, whether it's on the world scale or on your own personal level. And so we pray about it, but then we always have that hint of doubt in the back. And when God starts knocking at our door, we look at each other and say, ah, you're crazy. It can't be. It can't be the answer that we wanted. And yet the beauty of the story about Rhonda and the early church was it was God. It was God standing at their door. And so if we do pray, and when we pray, we truly need to expect God to have the answer. Maybe an unconventional answer, but an answer to our prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you, and you certainly know that we have every Sunday here in our everyday lives, we pray for some astonishing things, for people to be healed, for relationships to be renewed, for governments to change their minds, some pretty big stuff. And Lord, we come before you and we have to admit that a lot of the time we're not real sure that we believe those prayers. And when we see the answers to those prayers, we kind of scratch our head and say, nah, it's not what we wanted. But it is what you want. So Lord, we come before you and we pray that we can have the faith to believe that you do answer our prayers, that you are at work in our lives and in the world around us, and that through Jesus Christ, that we will experience your grace and truth, and even in the most bizarre circumstances in our lives and world, and we may see the most unconventional answers to our prayers. Help us to be open. Help us to trust you each and every day, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.